Hello and welcome back to the Gridiron Gentlemen podcast. We are here to talk about all the happenings of a very exciting week, which is conference finals week. We've got NFC, AFC conference finals. We've got a battle between Lamar Jackson fans and Taylor Swift fans in Baltimore. And then on the other side, we've got a battle of a great quarterback and Brock Purdy. So it's going to be a fun week. I'm kicking things off as I mean to go. I've chosen violence this week. Let's go. To get through this and a fair amount of news, actually, as well, a lot to talk about. We have Phil. Phil, how's it going?
Very good. Thank you, Daniel. How are you?
I'm great. I'm raring to go. And Bass, how you doing?
Very well. Looking Excellent. Forward to some games. So.
Me too. Me too. These games both look great as well, to be fair. Yeah. I am tongue slightly in cheek to start with, but... The game between the Niners and the Lions, I think, is closer than people think it's going to be. And I think equally, the Ravens and the Chiefs is a really nice matchup as well. So very excited about both these games. Before we get to that, though, there's a fair amount of news we want to get to. Let's start with some awards, shall we? We've got the finalists for the NFL Honors List, yep. Which is that big awards night they do just before the Super Bowl. For all awards they've announced, and we can just go down the list and we'll discuss them. Build up to MVP or start with MVP?
Build up
to MVP. Okay, right. We're going to work up the list then. Okay, so Assistant Coach of the Year, Ben Johnson, Mike McDonald, Todd Monken, Jim Schwartz, Bobby Slowick. Really nice list, I think. Like the one theme of these nominees is I genuinely think these are all quite deserving to be on this list generally. Generally think yeah. they deserve to be on the list, generally. Bloody hell, Dan. Personal favourite there? I think Ben Johnson's probably the favourite to win that.
For me, it's between Ben Johnson and Bobby Slowick.
Same. Yeah, I totally agree.
And yeah. To be fair, it's dependent who wins here, who for me wins Coach of the Year.
Mm. Oh, also Todd yeah. Monken should be in the list as well. I think Todd yeah. Monken's done an unreal job in Baltimore. So.
Yeah, that defense is...
Okay. Yeah. Coach of the Year, Kevin Stefanski, Kyle Shanahan, D'Amico Ryans, John Harbaugh, Dan Campbell. I struggle to see anyone but Kyle Shanahan.
Really?
D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah. D'Amico Ryans has been really, really good. What Kyle Shanahan has done with a bang average quarterback, though.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Yes, but the rest of the roster is bang average.
The rest no. of the roster
that's
is
the rub.
Yeah.
I could play quarterback in that system and look fantastic.
I was basically just setting up a joke there, but I think any of these five are deserved winners.
Oh, 100%.
Stefanski, maybe not, but then at the same time,
not Stefanski, but that's a personal issue.
yeah,
but then again, he did. Managed with losing his QB, his starting running back, and still dragged that team to yeah. playoffs. But
he made the Stone Age pony that is Joe Flacco look good.
Yeah,
he did. He was wacko for Flacco. Yeah,
but in a,
it worked.
Let's be honest, but he is not. He's there to fill the number. I feel.
Yeah,
the
maybe.
Other four are clear at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's between those four.
Yeah.
Definitely, completely agree.
But if it's my choice, D'Amico Ryans would win. I did not expect the Texans to be anything that good this year already.
I might not be
this quickly.
No,
I might not be the biggest Brock Purdy fan, but I am the biggest Kyle Shanahan fan. Like I think he's incredible. Like what he is managing to do with his team is exceptional.
Yeah.
And I he would be my choice personally. But yeah, but I if D'Amico Ryans ends up winning it, or Dan Campbell ends up winning it, or John Harbaugh ends yeah. up winning it, or Kyle Shanahan ends up winning it, I'm fine with it. I think
With John Harbaugh, I even have the feeling this isn't his best coaching year he's ever
no.
had.
No.
Because was it last year or the year before? He had so many injuries and he still managed to make the playoffs. And that
yeah.
was way more impressive than what he did this year with a largely healthy roster this year. So.
Yeah, it felt like the OCs took over in Baltimore this year, doing an amazing job. So, comeback player of the year. I mean, I still
DeMar Hamlin.
It should be DeMar Hamlin, shouldn't it?
The fact that he came back from the dead.
Yes,
it will be him.
Yeah,
But if it's just placed on play,
yeah,
he should win it.
Little nod to Joe Flacco as well, I think.
So we've got Baker Mayfield came back from being bad.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Stafford came back from being average and injured. Mm-hmm. And Tua came back from getting his bell rung one too many times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
DeMar Hamlin came back from the dead.
Yeah, yeah, that's 100% true. I think.
And he got onto an NFL field and played. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether he was good
or that he played more than like five snaps this year, but
it's irrelevant.
Probably didn't need to be in on a fake punt, you know.
No.
But I agree. It should be DeMar Hamlin. I just think that you almost get to a point where you say, who's second in this? And that's probably Joe Flacco.
That's,
Joe Flacco, I also probably Baker Mayfield. If someone rescued their career, it's Baker.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been very good this year. Defensive Rookie of the Year. Really interesting one again. Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, Joey Porter Jr., Kobe Turner, Devon Witherspoon. Carter dropped off. He was my initial choice.
Yeah.
He started very well. Yeah. Will Anderson came good towards the end.
And finished Kobe Turner strong. Was good the entire season.
It might be Witherspoon for me.
And Witherspoon was an absolute wrecking ball coming out from corner.
Yeah.
To just do a bit of everything.
Next one's really easy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep, it's CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
Oh, it's CJ Stroud. And shout out.
Let's be honest. The offensive rookie list this year is insane.
Yeah. It is bonkers because all of these guys have been very, very good.
Yes.
So Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, both incredible. Puka Nacua, any other year.
Any other year, he wins this.
He breaks a rookie receiving record, and he still can't win this award.
Yep, because Bijan Robinson, he went up against one of the best quarterbacks in the league, who just happened to be a rookie.
100%. Bijan Robinson excelled as a bench warmer, and CJ Stroud, I mean, CJ Stroud was incredible this year, and he's deservedly going to win this one.
Yeah, for Sam Laporta, I think that's probably the most impressive rookie tight end season I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He just looked ready.
Yeah.
Which I know is rare.
But three players, those three players, any other year win this award if they're not up against each other. Yeah. Crazy. Absolutely crazy list. And we are very lucky to have them in the league, I think.
Indeed.
Yeah, it's always fun to see. Offensive Player of the Year. Tyreek Hill, Lamar Jackson, CeeDee Lamb, Christian McCaffrey, Dak Prescott. Can we give Lamar Jackson two awards? Because that's how well I think he's played this year. Honestly, though, it's Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I was going.
It's come to this point that if running backs and wide receivers can no longer win MVP, then I don't think QB should win offensive player of the year.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I think it should be, it should almost be separate, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Also, though, everyone on this list again has been exceptional again. CeeDee Lamb's been unreal this year. Tyreek Hill's unstoppable. Dak Prescott's been mostly good. And, for 90% of the season, Dak Prescott was very good, in fact.
Yeah.
And obviously Lamar Jackson.
Mostly against weak teams. The winning record, their record against good teams this year isn't good.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
Defensive Player of the Year, I kind of agree with Mina Kimes. It's a shame not to see Roquan Smith on this list because he's been unreal.
Yeah.
Michael Parsons has been good this year, but I feel a bit bad for him. He's been held on 90% of plays that he's been involved in. Mm-hmm. However, Deron Bland, I think you've got to have on the list. He was really, really good. Max Crosby's unstoppable. TJ Watt, unstoppable. Miles Garrett. Miles Garrett wins it for me.
Yeah, this is the year for Miles Garrett. Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to like Miles Garrett.
Yes. Yeah. Miles Garrett is a good person. He's just on a team with a horrible human being.
He really is. You ain't wrong. And MVP. The list is Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Christian McCaffrey, Dak Prescott, and Brock Purdy. It's got to be Lamar.
Yep. By a long way.
It's just been unstoppable. So, awards. I mean, I think they kind of write themselves mostly. I think most of them are fairly straightforward. But I stand to be corrected on that one. It feels like they are, though. Some signings then. Brian Callahan is the new Texans head coach. Titans head coach, not Texans. Good Lord. That would involve a lot of changing, wouldn't it? New Titans head coach. Fine. Yeah. Yeah. I don't hate it. That's okay. I wonder if it means they intend to bring another quarterback in or whether they're going to roll with Will Levis, but I'd like to think they're going to bring another one in and at least try.
Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. I wouldn't be convinced about Levis being the answer.
No. Neither.
Dave
Canales is in as the Panthers head coach. One good season with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was enough to see him take on a head coaching role. I don't hate it again.
And considering what we thought the Buccaneers might be, that they came a long way, and a lot of that was to do with the fact that the offense was actually functional, which we weren't sure it would be with Baker at QB and.
I'd have bet money. He
was a running game at times for the first time in a long time. So
yeah,
well, like a change of loss.
Because we know Todd Bowles doesn't really do anything with the offense. That's not really where he does his coaching.
Yep.
So there's got to be a lot of credit going there if you're still winning games because you're scoring points and you're scoring points because your offense works.
Yeah.
Which was down to him.
What do we think Bill Belichick said in his second interview that meant that no one wanted to interview him anymore? Because the Falcons look like they're going to head to with Raheem Morris now, is what they're saying.
Can you move that stadium somewhere colder?
I believe the issue with Belichick was the role of the GM.
Really? He's still not giving that up.
No.
I want to run this thing. I pick a bill, players.
It's a shame.
He wants full control.
And
it's just not going to happen after his drafting record the last few years.
No, that's a real shame. Because, like, you'd have thought that, like, just give up on that. Just try coaching and then...
No.
It looks like Kellen Moore, who's now out of the Chargers, and we'll get to that in a second, is being hired for the OC position at Cleveland.
Yes.
Selling his soul, I suppose. Where are we looking here? Eagles expect to sign Vic Fangio as defensive coordinator. Feels like they're just running through a who's who of defensive coordinators and head coaches that have been so-so in the last couple of years. But
it's just strong shit that we'll see what sticks.
Basically, yeah. And they request an interview with Kellen Moore for the OC position as well.
Okay.
They need some serious help.
Yeah,
they should have been a lot better than they were.
And I really feel like hiring Fangio is... Look, we did something. We have a good one.
Yeah.
I can stay.
The thing is that the talent's there. You just got to get somebody to get them to...
Play together.
Play together better.
Yeah.
Because the angles were absolutely horrific the last few weeks. In the backfield.
It was like watching two different teams throughout the season. Start of the season to the end of the season, it's like watching two completely different teams. Really, really worrying. The Commanders, they're interviewing Dan Quinn. They got a second interview with Dan Quinn. They've been very understated about their hiring. So,
yeah, I feel like the Commanders are just doing their business, but I think they really have their heart set on Ben Johnson.
Yeah, like...
And they can't interview him yet.
Yeah. So. Falcons had a second interview with Bobby Slowick, but I'd say it looks like they're heading for Raheem Morris. Also, Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn were on the list. The Chicago Bears hired former Seahawks offensive coordinator Shane Waldron, which I think is a great signing. I'm excited about that. It's also...
made Gino look good.
There was also the one signing that means that you can honestly not tell where they're going to go in the draft this year as well.
No, because like, he could very well work with Fields.
He could probably work with Fields, yeah. Raiders are looking at... the Raiders are making some weird moves, in my opinion.
It's a Raider.
No!
This is true. Looks like they're hiring Tom Telesco as their new GM after the amazing job he did with their division rivals, the LA Chargers, and they are interviewing Luke Getsy for their vacant OC position. He was fired by the high-flying Chicago Bears offense.
To be fair, the Chargers team isn't lacking talent, so.
No.
And fine talent.
Oh, I don't know, man.
But most of it gets injured most of the time, so.
Yeah. If you take out, like, the top five players from the Chargers, I mean, that's not a good team at all.
No, and looking at what's going to happen this year with what's probably going to leave.
Yeah.
Going to be a pretty big rebuild there.
I think the biggest news, though, Jim Harbaugh was signed as the LA Chargers head coach. Like, excellent signing, I think.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Chargers. That's really, really good. And I guess we'll see if Jim Harbaugh can still coach in the NFL, which I have no doubt that he probably can.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited, to say the least. Right then, that's about it news-wise. Anything else we want to be talking about? We missed anything?
No.
Unless we want to touch on a certain Patriots wide receiver that's been gambling an awful lot.
Nah.
You've seen about that, though, yeah?
I didn't see it. And B, I didn't know we had any wide receivers this year.
Yeah. So, well, let me bring up the story. It's because it is worth talking about. Chance. Why can I not find
Kayson
this now?
Boutte arrested.
Huh?
Kayson Boutte arrested.
That's the one, yeah. Yes. So, it sounds like he's been arrested for multiple counts of underage gambling while he was at LSU. Yeah, it just seems quite interesting. It's crazy what's been going on. He was gambling under aliases such as his own name, but with a 0-1 on the end. it is bonkers. Here we go. Patriots Kayshon Boutte is on ESPN, arrested for betting at LSU. Included a felony computer fraud and misdemeanor count of gambling prohibited for a person under 21. Investigators assigned to the division found that he bet when he was 20. The alias accounts also believed to be used by Boutte placed more than 8,900 wagers with at least 17 bets on NCAA football games, including at least 6 on LSU football games.
Yeah.
That's bonkers. That's a lot of gambling.
That's an issue for yourself.
Yeah, it really is.
Even if you're a great NFL player, which he isn't, with that much betting, no matter how much you earn, it's going to be gone in no time.
Yeah.
So.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Should we talk about the games?
Yes.
Yeah,
let's.
Two games to talk about. So if you're after a shorter pod this week, you're probably in luck, I would say. Which one do we want to start with?
Which one kicks off first, or are they at the same time?
No, I mean, that would be cool if they did, wouldn't they? AFC kicks off first.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that one.
Chiefs at Ravens. Chiefs managed to put together one of the better games of the divisional rounds last week against the Bills. Bills made a few hiccups. Chiefs were able to capitalize on the back of a pretty damn good Patrick Mahomes performance. He is, funnily enough, very good at this sport. I don't know whether people knew that.
I'm not sure if people were aware. Yeah.
He's pretty solid at it. So
he's not bad.
Yeah. In general, go on.
And we had hoped he wasn't this year.
I kind of want to see him do well. Like, he is annoying.
Yeah.
But, like, he's at that point now where I'm like, he's one of those guys that I just want to see play the best football of his career every game, because it means we're watching possibly one of the greatest players of all time.
That's true. Yeah.
But he is annoying. You're right as well. Yeah. There's no denying that. It's hard to think about anything other than anything else in this game that wasn't Jason Kelce shirtless in the
that
in the
was
crowd.
Beautiful.
It was. I loved every second of it.
That was a stunning moment. He and Ryan Fitzpatrick should stand together for the next game, arm in arm.
He was hilarious with it as well. Like, have you listened? I've only heard the excerpt from his podcast with Travis. And Travis was like, this was the first time you were meeting Taylor. And he goes, yeah, and I wanted to give a good impression. And he said, he went to, it's Kylie is his wife, I think. And he goes, just so you know, this is happening. And he goes, I'm going to have some beers and I'm going to take my shirt off and I'm going to go party with Bill's Mafia. And and she goes, you shouldn't do that. This is the first time we're meeting Taylor. And he goes, I wasn't asking.
This was not a request.
This was always going to happen. This was what I decided I wanted to do.
Let's be honest. She met Jason Kelce, at least.
Yes, she did. You know what? I do wonder if there's an element of maybe she didn't want to be in the spotlight for once. And Jason Kelce definitely took her out the spotlight. Like, every decent picture of Taylor Swift in this game, Jason Kelce's in the background chugging a beer. Like, he's amazing.
Let's be honest, it's much better words about Jason Kelce than about Taylor Swift in a football game.
Yeah. But he, so like, then he said, he goes, his wife said, because I don't want the first time we meet Taylor to be you to you with your shirt off like this. And he goes, do you not remember the first time we met? I was blackout drunk.
she fears it. She fears it.
So, like, the other thing is with Jason Kelce is that he strikes me as the kind of guy that will be, like, in 2 weeks' time, absolutely ripped. Now he's not on the NFL, just pile on a ton of pounds and be immovable diet. You know, like Joe Thomas just turned up on TV and it's
yes,
like,
yes,
that's Joe not Thomas Joe Thomas.
Like an O-line man. To looking like a
it's running almost back. Like it's being like... an O-lineman isn't healthy for you.
Yeah.
No, no, 8,000 calories per day.
Joe Thomas looked more like he should play at that point, but at a different position. Like, yeah, I get the feeling we're going to get the same with Jason Kelce as well.
Yeah.
Just with more hair and bigger eyebrows.
Standing next to Ryan Fitzpatrick. God, watching Bills games whilst drunk and shirtless.
Yeah, they should just like he was.
That's what I want.
He was ripping on the Bills, but he was clearly there to party with them as well.
They should make their own dad bod line of something.
He said he just wanted to take his shirt off in the cold. That's all he wanted to do.
I completely get it. It makes sense to me.
It's so weird, but yeah, I do get it.
If I was at a Bills game, that's what I'd do.
Yeah.
I'd get really drunk, take my shirt off and stand with them.
And jump through a table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he did that. I think he'd obliterate a table, to be fair. So
jumping through a table doesn't really seem like a challenge.
That's exactly.
This is a marble one.
We didn't see the table in the PRP area, so who knows?
No, yeah.
It's maybe, already gone.
Maybe he'd already jumped through it. This is very true. Very true. We should probably talk about the game.
Do we have to? Yeah.
So the Chiefs won what I think was a close fought game on the back of their defense, mostly. Being able to slow down what the Buffalo Bills have managed to do. Chiefs defense has been the star, the diamond in their little crown this year.
It's definitely what's kept them going this season, because the offense has been fits and starts because, you know, receivers haven't been able to catch the ball. You know, so, you know, they've lacked maybe some offensive spark.
Second ranked defense in the league this year.
Yeah, and that's what's made a huge difference.
Yeah,
you know, I think I've said this multiple times on the pod at this point. It's just they are basically the new Patriots.
Yeah.
They're going to find a way. Mm-hmm. They're going to find a way to get to this championship game every single year. And this year, they've just had to rely on their defense for it.
So, Kansas City Chiefs, number 15 ranked offense, number 2 ranked defense. Do you know who the number 1 ranked defense is?
Is it Baltimore?
It's Baltimore, yes. So, There we go. Okay, I can't even remember where we were now. If you're listening,
the Ravens,
Ravens defense. Yeah. There we go. They are exceptional. And
yes.
The problem that the Chiefs have in this game is that their limited weapons they have, the limited availability of weapons that Patrick Mahomes has to his disposal, plays into exactly what the Ravens want to do. Ravens are easily the best team in the league, I think, at disguising coverage as well. Which isn't necessarily a strength, because I think Patrick Mahomes is the kind of guy that could actually just see through that anyway. But
yes, but he doesn't have the receivers to do
that's
it.
That's the problem, yeah. So, like, as a result, any kind of, like, subtle changes the receivers are going to make, it's not going to happen, really. Yeah. On top of which, in the middle of the field, they are one of the best teams in the league. So when you've got Travis Kelce, who's playing some good football this year, when you've got Travis Kelce being your number one target, it's a concern now, because they can probably assign some very good linebackers to stopping him. I would imagine in this one, we'll see Patrick Queen versus Travis Kelce for the majority of the game. And if they're smart, then they're going to bring Kyle Hamilton forward as well. And yeah. Trust that the Raven, that the Chiefs don't really have any players that can beat them over the top.
No, the only deep threat they have is Rice.
Yeah.
And that's also only recently, yeah. So. And they can stop the run as well. Pacheco can be stopped.
He can be. The one thing I'll say is that they've only allowed 6 rushing touchdowns this year. Which is crazy.
Jesus.
Yeah. Like, they've allowed yards, 4.5 yards per carry. That's quite a lot of yards. They've let teams run on them. They just don't let them score.
And it's all about scoring, yeah. So who cares about yards?
Yeah, this is true. They've had 18 interceptions as well. 2nd for fumbles, 13 fumbles. This is an opportunistic defense that can take advantage of players that like to make mistakes. I'm looking in your direction, Kansas. Which has been the...
You mean Mr. Tony, I believe.
If he sees the field, it'd be a miracle. But also, Mecole Hardman, who was rubbish in the last game as well. And yep. A bevy of their other wide receivers as well.
Who have hands of stone.
Just not doing anything.
Oh, it's bounced off my hands. Yeah, that's a bad thing, because the Ravens defense will grab that.
On the other side of the ball, Lamar Jackson's playing. I mean, I think he saved his best game till last week. He was unreal. And the way he can split the ball around. Looks like Mark Andrews might be set to miss when he's still on the injury list. He had full participation, but he's still on the injury list. So I'm not 100% certain. But Isaiah Likely is playing some great football. Odell Beckham's filling in where he needs to. They can run the ball with multiple players. The offensive line's been excellent. Flowers has been an incredible wide receiver as well. And they just kind of fill in the gaps with the rest of the players. Whereas the Chiefs have wide receivers that aren't living up to expectation, the Ravens have wide receivers that are exceeding expectation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much. Yeah. We didn't know which Odell Beckham we were going to get, whether we were going to get Cleveland Odell Beckham, who just underperformed, or the one that played for the Rams that filled in a role and played it really well.
Yeah.
And that's the version they've got. He's filling the role and doing his job.
Yeah.
He's not trying anything spectacular or over the top. He's not trying to be the center of attention. He's literally come in there. I want to try and help you guys win. Let's go.
So then, perfect. On top of which, Nelson Aguilar's playing the best football he's played in a long time as well. Looked excellent.
Yeah.
Gus Edwards, Justice Hill, Dalvin Cook, 3 people that probably wouldn't be on anyone's, hey, I trust them to run the ball list, but hey, I trust all 3 of them to run the ball on this team. Maybe not so much Dalvin Cook.
I think the running backs, it doesn't matter who the running backs are in many respects, because the running threat you're really scared of is Lamar. Yeah.
But then I think that makes the other ones better.
Exactly. Because the defense is so focused of, well, it might be a running play, So it's probably going to be Lamar. So I'm going to watch him, and then the running back's gone that way. And you're like, ah, crap. Well, at least Lamar didn't go.
Yeah.
And also, I think what's going to be, could be fine on this game is Joe Tooney.
Yep.
Is at the moment still not practicing. So.
They've got some issues on defense as well, which are a concern.
Yeah. The injury report for the Chiefs is pretty large. In total.
It is. Willie Gay looks set to miss as well.
Yeah, Pacheco did not participate at the moment still. So.
I think let's just quickly try and figure out how the Kansas City Chiefs could possibly win this one.
There's one more.
Is it Mahomes?
Mahomes.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Yeah, he goes full Michael Jordan.
The defense will be able to do enough to not be blown out.
Yeah, the defense can keep him in the game, I think.
Yeah. So it's just, can Mahomes be Mahomes and something else? And and since he's playing his best football in the playoffs, he played this entire year, you just can't count him out. You just can't do it.
I think you've got to trust the 50-50 balls as well. I think in this game, what you've got to do is say, okay, blank slate, we're starting again with the wide receivers. I need some of them to actually perform. I need at least one deep pass to Marcus Valdes-Scantling.
And he got it last week.
Basically, what they need is they need their defense to keep them within a score with so that Mahomes could run a two-minute drill at the end of the fourth quarter.
Okay, so, yeah, I think you've got to trust your wide receivers in this one. Like, be forgetful, start again, and think that you can actually get something from them in this one. Because I think the Ravens' defense is going to key in on a few key players that you've been relying on to move the ball so far this season.
Because what's, I think, most impressive about the Baltimore Ravens defense this year is they get better the longer the game goes on.
Yep.
Because if you're not blowing them out, if you're not keeping up in the first quarter, you're not doing anything in the second half.
Yeah.
So you need to come on firing, and you need everybody to bring their in game for once. So, yeah.
Do you want to hear my fun conspiracy theory? I'm going to go through some of the lists of players of Ravens and what positions they play. Zero, Roquan Smith, linebacker. Six, Patrick McQueen, linebacker. 24, Jadeveon Clowney, outside linebacker. I genuinely wonder if they came into this and said, should we just go with as many confusing numbers as possible in the, like, in key positions to try and confuse the offense? And I know that there's a lot more movement on positions that teams play and like their numbers, but I do wonder whether there is some play to the fact that the middle linebackers for this team are 0 and 6. And then on the outside, you've got player Jadeveon Clowney as an edge rusher. I don't know. Just now, so just a theory.
It would not surprise me if a team thought about it and went for it.
Right, that's kind of what I thought.
Every single little bit of advantage you can get, and messing around with the new number rules is just perfect.
100% agree. Yeah. Equally, this Ravens defense is outstanding, and the level of play they're getting from reasonably good players is impressive. Marlon Humphrey didn't play in the last game, and you wouldn't have guessed they played outstanding in the secondary.
Yeah.
Ronald Darby's playing the best football of his career. Kyle Van Noy is coming in as an incredible player. Jadeveon Clowney and Kyle Van Noy as like key outside players is bonkers, but it's working. And it's working a lot. It's very impressive. And I think a lot of this comes from the fact that Patrick Queen, following tight end last week, was really, really good. I thought he played an outstanding game last week. Roquan Smith is next level linebacker.
And I think key to this Ravens defense being able to at least take away weapons for what the Kansas City Chiefs want to do. I think Patrick McQueen lines up with Travis Kelce. And as I say, I wouldn't be surprised if you see someone like Carl Hamilton, like shadowing him as well. I think you can bracket Travis Kelce. And I think in this game, you probably try to. Trusting that you can probably win one-on-one battles against some of these Chiefs weapons. So as I say, if you're the Chiefs, you're going to try and hit these guys. Try and even 50-50 balls, you're going to try and go for it. Try and get the play outside. Try and stretch the field. Try and open up the field. Because then if you've got to push them back, push the secondary back, you're going to create, run it. You're going to create nice lanes for the likes of Travis Kelce to run into and make your life a lot easier in the last part of the game.
But like we said, you need to start hitting Marcus Wells gambling, Rice in the backfield immediately. Otherwise, it's just going to suffocate you to death.
And Ravens on offense, what I'd do, run as far away from Chris Jones as I possibly can.
Yeah.
Like they've other edge rushes, but if you need to change your launch point by running in the opposite direction of Chris Jones, go ahead and do it. I don't think that's a problem. One of the things they do really well is they change the launch point and just like, maybe actually I'll just keep running. And when it's Lamar Jackson, that's pretty special.
Yeah. Although Snead as a cornerback is scary as well.
He is indeed, yeah. Totally agree. I think this is going to be a fun game.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a lot closer than even I'm talking myself into. Equally, I know who I'm going for. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about you guys?
Yeah, yep, I know who I want to win.
Hmm?
I know I want to win.
Who do you want to win?
The Ravens.
You want the Ravens to win?
Yeah.
Who do you think's going to win?
Yeah. I fear Mahomes is going to find a way.
Interesting. I think Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are on a roll at the moment.
Yeah, they're absolutely in a roll, but Spagnuolo in the playoffs with that defense is going to conjure up some magic.
He is very good.
Yeah.
I still trust the Ravens, though.
Yeah. Look, like I said, I want them to win. Would 100% think they have everything they can do to win, but it feels inevitable in a way.
I hope not. Like
I absolutely hope not.
Bill, where are you going?
I am going with the Ravens win because I just think they're a better team this year. I think there's actually like a big difference. Like,
yeah.
Yes, Mahomes is really good. Yes, Spagnuolo is a good coordinator, but I don't know if that's enough because the Ravens have got a really good QB as well and a really good defense. It's not like you're overmatched. At no position are they like overmatched.
No, I agree. I totally
and
agree.
I think that's going to be the difference is, they're good at, the Chiefs haven't, so far in the playoffs, haven't come up against a team where they don't have an advantage.
Yeah.
Like, the Bills aren't a complete team. So you can get the advantage there, whereas this Ravens team is.
They are possibly the most complete team in the sport. Not at the moment.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
And I think that's going to show through. So, I'm going with a Ravens win.
Me too. Yeah, going for a Ravens win.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope so. Why? Do you not like the idea of a team being utterly dominant for like decades on end, Bess?
I don't know what you're doing.
My team did it and that makes them special. I don't want anyone else to do it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Next up. Speaking of dominance, the Detroit Lions.
Yes!
You gotta love it. You gotta love it.
Yes.
Travel to San Francisco to play the favorite San Francisco 49ers. Now, I would say on a daily basis, me and James have had a conversation about how you should not be writing off this Detroit Lions team right now. Partly because they're very, very good. Partly because they're very, very well coached. Partly because they're plucky and they love situations like this. but also because Niners fans listening, your team didn't play that great in the last game. You got lucky.
The Packers had you.
Yeah.
They threw it away. It wasn't the case you beat them. They threw it away.
Yeah.
They had you on the ropes and they missed.
Now, don't get me wrong. The ability to close out a game is vitally important in the NFL. But if you can find a team that can actually capitalize on the mistakes that were made in the last game, you're in trouble. And I think this Lions team is very, very good. I think the other thing is the Packers might very well have presented a roadmap on how to beat this Niners team as well in a couple of different ways. So, for starters, one of my favorite things the Packers did last week was muddy the lanes for Fred Warner to run through as a side linebacker. Go an outside zone run. Why not line up in bunches? Make him run through three players. Line up two of your tight ends in that bunch formation. Force Fred Warner to have to run through several players to get to the running back.
What did you know? The Lions picked up an extra tight end this week.
Who did they pick up?
Zach Ertz.
I saw that, yeah.
I don't know what he's got left, but it's interesting.
No clue. Absolutely no clue, but yeah.
He has the effect of being a large body to stand between a running back and Fred Warner, which is invaluable.
Yeah. In the last five games, the Niners pass rush has 6 sacks. This is the strength of the team.
Yeah.
The strength of the defense is what they are able to do up front. Because the secondary is good, but it's not great. Linebackers have been very, very good. Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw. Dre Greenlaw in the last few games has been outstanding as well. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. This Niners team is very, very good on defense. You're up against a Lions team that can out and out wide receiver block downfield for their running backs. Running game's been incredible for this Lions team.
Everybody's working for everything. Yeah.
You've got an easy target, Ambry Thomas, as a corner. To put it into perspective, let me bring up his stats. Did I go ahead and close them? That was stupid if I did. Ambry Thomas in the last game, 5 targets, 5 receptions, 74 yards. The majority of the Packers' passing game went through Ambry Thomas in the last game. Now, don't get me wrong. I think he mostly had a bad game. But he's your guy you're going to be targeting in the next game, I think. So the Lions, I think, can win this game.
Yeah.
I think they're probably not the favorites, but the Niners didn't present to me anything that said they're going to be utterly dominant this week in last week's game.
No. The biggest issue I at the moment see for the Lions is their injuries for Ragnow and Jonah Jackson.
Absolutely. Like, the strength of this Lions team is their offensive line.
Yeah.
They've been really, really good.
They both have been in the practice the last 2 days, so you're going to need them. I mean, Ragnow played even through the injury last week, and when he was still playing, he was absolutely dominant. So
yeah,
absolutely helped him push them over that last little hump. So
I think this game's more David Montgomery than Jahmyr Gibbs. I think this is chunk yards, but like 3-4 yards at a time.
Yeah.
Move the ball, move the ball, move the ball. Keep the ball up the Niners' hands on offense as well. Then hit Amon-Ra St. Brown downfield when you've got a one-on-one with players that you think you can beat.
Yeah.
Let's not see funky opportunities for offensive linemen to catch touchdowns in this one, Detroit. Let's see you play around with it. Let's see Dan Skipper come in, line up as eligible, and block the crap out of someone. But
yes.
But let's not see you actually try and make throws to him. Let's see Sam LaPorta come into his own in this one as well.
Yeah.
Like, if you can get the run game going, if you can get
your best bets are one-on-one opportunities to get first downs against Dre Greenlaw. He's been really, really good in coverage this year as well, so it's worth mentioning that. But run the ball. Run the crap out of the ball. Outside zone runs. Have your wide receivers lining up, ready to block Fred Warner as he's coming across the line. And trust that David Montgomery can get through a second-level safety or cornerback. Run the ball. When they move the ball forward, all of a sudden you've got opportunities for Sam Laporta and Amon-Ra St. Brown as well.
Amon-Ra St. Brown will always have opportunities, I feel like.
And anytime you've got someone like Amon-Ra St. Brown one-on-one with Ambry Thomas, take the shot.
Yeah.
Just take it and see what happens. On the other side of the ball, the one thing I'll say about this Lions defense is it's opportunistic. It's not good. It's
the
opportunistic.
Secondary is very good.
I like the secondary a lot. There are some weak points. Kindle Vildor, a cornerback, good lord. Yeah. He couldn't even make the Bears team. That's crazy.
However, what's one thing that is very positive for the Lions defense is James Houston is back to full practice.
Excellent. That is good, yeah.
So good last year, and he has been missing most this year. So if he's coming back, that would take off some pressure off Aiden Hutchinson and enable them to get home to Purdy. So
they're going to need to do that. I think the best opportunities are going to come through the middle. Alan McNeil's been playing very, really good football at nose tackle. So trust him to take the attention away from a couple of the other players. Try not to line up Aiden Hutchinson on Trent Williams. Trent Williams, who can throw grown men like they're tiny, tiny children. One of the craziest things in the last game was that cornerback that tried starting a fight with Trent Williams, and he gave him the gentlest tap, and he seemed to go flying through the sky. He's unreal. But try and match up strength against weakness. Try and get Aiden Hutchinson to match up against... who have they got on the right-hand side? My bad. McKibbitz. I think there's opportunities. I think there are opportunities for this Lions team to win. I think they've just got to take them.
Yeah.
Any further thoughts on this?
No, I think it's going to be an interesting game. I mean, there's a clear favourite, but...
There's a clear favourite, but the Detroit Lions love being the underdog, so...
So damn gritty. They just go for everything.
Yeah, this is not... The Niners are not going to get like an easy day here.
No.
And if they play like they did against Green Bay, this Detroit Lions team is better.
Yeah, I agree.
And they will finish you off.
Yeah.
Unlike Green Bay, Green Bay are a bit young, a bit inexperienced, and it kind of showed at the end of that game. Detroit will not do that.
Also, try and keep Brian Branch, CJ Gardner-Johnson, and Melifonwu on the field at the same time. All three of them. Even if one of them's lining up out position, even if one of them's actually lining up as a linebacker, whatever. Try and keep those are your three, out of Aiden Hutchinson, those are your three best playmakers on defense. Keep them on the field.
100%.
That's my suggestion anyway.
Yeah. And what's with how the Packers played against the 49ers, all the weapons of the Lions are better. Better running backs, better receiver.
Yeah.
At least number one receiver is definitely better. They're way better tight end. So.
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah.
Detroit have a much better quarterback, so that's what matters.
No comment, but I agree.
The more you look back at that trade, Goff and Stafford trade, the better it looks now.
You know what? It might be one of those rare ones where both teams win. I mean,
yeah. Rams won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Detroit got a QB who's playing really well for them, and they're winning games.
And a couple of extra picks. How awesome is that? And they finally broke their streak. So.
Yeah.
And let's just hope Lions win the Super Bowl. And it's the greatest trade of all time, no doubt.
It has just wrap things up. Who's everyone going with, by the way? Should I actually answer that? What's that?
Sorry. I'm going with my heart.
Really?
Yes.
I'm going Lions.
So James gone for the Lions as well. But
I am also going for the Lions, but that's mostly because I can't bring myself to say the other one.
James went Ravens as well, by the way.
You can't go Lions. You can't do it now.
I can't do it. I can't have it where the entire podcast goes for the underdog.
No.
I'll exactly. Be the sensible guy that goes for the
Thank
Niners
you.
Then.
Thank you.
Good.
What, I don't know what that's for, Bass. I won the prediction league this year.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm going to go for the Niners. I do think the Lions are going to cause a scare, though.
Yeah.
I don't think in the Super Bowl. I think the Ravens are by far the better team. But yeah, I guess we'll wait and see.
But the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl.
Yep. We'll see what happens. Anything can happen between that.
Both teams have 2 weeks to get healthy. The pressure is on. And especially if you're the ultimate favorite. And let's be honest, Lamar is a much bigger star than anything the Lions have at the moment. Although Goff is climbing up with his remarks about Skip Bayless.
Yeah.
But
the
focus
okay
will be
with me.
If the Ravens, it would be the Lions versus the Ravens in the Super Bowl, it would be all the pressure would be on Lamar. So,
yeah, true,
it's very different.
A few more things about the Kayshon Boutte arrest: deposited a total of £132,147 into the accounts, won a total of £556,267, but used most of the money to make additional bets, then withdrew £50,000 from the account as well. Someone here has their response. Kayshon Boutte was, this is at Boston Connor, I don't know who this person is, was breaking the rules, gambling in college. I get that. But can we get the guy's picks, please? Dude is a master of gambling. And with that, we're going to wrap things up. Phil, if people want to get hold of you, where can they get hold of you?
You can either get hold of me on the Discord, where all of us are, usually, especially on a game day. It's always a lot of fun. And apart from that, Instagram is about the only social really I use, which is just at Phil Knuckles. There is only one of me.
Nice. Bass, same with you.
Only on the Discord.
Nice.
No use for socials anymore.
And yep, with that, if you want to contact us, hit us up on Twitter. It's just at Gridiron Gents. Email us hellochaps@gridirongentlemen.com. But yeah, come join the Discord. That is where we do most of our best work. Come join us there. Thank you for listening. Back next week, I think. I don't know what we'll be talking about, but probably we're wrapping these games up and then just talking awards. But yeah, back next week.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. And goodbye.